Welcome back to the No App for Life podcast, part two of Accountable, a special series brought to you by Fair Play for Kids. I'm Joni Ciani with Laura Marquez Garrett from the Social Media Victims Law Center. Laura is continuing to answer all the questions you might have on COSA, the Kids Online Safety Act. I expect it to be voted on by Congress, I think I'm going to say, any minute now. We need your help to put some pressure on your representatives to have a federal law finally passed to protect our kids online. And for more information on how you can reach out to your representatives, again, please go to fairplayforkids.org. Everything is right there on the front page. So let's dive in a bit more. Tell me about the duty of care provision.
Now, the duty of care, so this is a newer edition, and there's a really important section in there that to me is just so critical on this issue, and that's the section B. And what it says is nothing in this section that we just talked about, nothing is going to require a covered platform, I'll just say platform, to prevent or preclude any, and this is a direct quote, any minor from deliberately and independently searching for or specifically requesting content. That is a massive carve out. That means that in any situation, these companies retain so much data. All they got to do is retain search terms. Now, what that means is the example we talked about, if I've got a 16-year-old boy searching for, please give me something uplifting, please help me, right? I want to see uplifting content. And the platform has designed its product to send to him extreme self-harm, suicide content. Guess what? Like, that's not okay. And it shouldn't be, right? But if this kid is looking for suicide and self-harm, and that's what they're getting under this carve out, all the, you know, the complete defense for the platform. Hey, here's the data. He searched for suicide. An example I like to use is I have a colleague as a questioning youth growing up in a very conservative Midwest town. She would often look for things like gay pride. And what she has said is, you know, and in that case, it was YouTube, I believe, when I would search for gay pride, I would often get just as much gay pride as I would get, you're going to hell. Wow. And that is how these platforms are targeting our children. So under COSA, right, you don't get in trouble. You're not on the hook and nobody can come after you if a child is searching for gay pride and is getting gay pride, or a child is searching for suicide or any subject matter, no matter how much we think it could be harmful or not, that is not what COSA is about. COSA specifically exempts that, right? It says if this kid is deliberately and independently searching for or requesting this content, you have no duty. These companies as a whole, they don't get to target kids based on their sexuality, they don't get to individually send stuff to a child, not because the child's searching for it, but because the platform's programming decides extreme content's going to make me more money. Right? They don't get to target kids individually. They don't get to program their systems to send a child looking for something positive, something about suicide. It goes to product design. And there's a whole system, and there will be a whole system in place in terms of reporting, again, disclosures. So it's not going to target on that one-off basis.
Gotcha.
Right? It basically is saying you don't get to design your algorithm, you don't get to program your algorithm, you don't get to design your platform to hurt kids. Right. Now, if there's content on your platform and a child is searching for that, that's outside of COSA. That's content, right? That's not product design. That is a user searching. Like, think of a search engine. When you search for a Chinese restaurant on google.com, you typically get Chinese restaurants. When you search for a Chinese restaurant on Instagram under, you know, what we've been talking about,
you don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know what you're going to get. In fact,
that is the critical message right there. I want to take 1 second because we can talk about it because we sort of have the background context because we've been in this space so long.
Yeah.
I just really want to put a big highlight. What we're talking about that the general public just has no idea is to why you get certain ads or how you get to certain places. And you can be sitting there going, I don't even have that in my history. Like, why would that even bring me there? And so just, Laura, again, explain the fact that it is way behind the scenes. in the algorithm. It's almost like if we're talking about your conscious mind and your subconscious, right? Your
it's even worse. You're giving them too much credit. It's not even in your subconscious. It's these companies making that choice for you. It's them saying, hey, I
only
know
for engagement, only to get energized.
Yes.
Let me give the most vile picture, the most vile anything, the most extreme sentiment, kill yourself, just for engagement.
Yes.
Just for engagement. They will send this toxic information
and
to
know
your
it.
Kid for engagement.
And they know it. And they go to, I think, what is it, gizmodo.com. It's a website where they start publishing some of the Facebook documents. I think it's the most comprehensive set. Go to Gizmodo. Look at the Facebook documents. Read them.
They know it.
They know it. They know they're doing it. They know it's hurting kids. But who's going to stop them?
We are, because we're listening to this show, and we're going to get COSA passed. We're going to do something. We've got to do something.
We do. Now, look, that's just section three. Like, that's the duty of care. And that's a general section that just talks about you don't get to design your products to hurt kids. And by the way, pure content is carved out. What a kid is searching for, the harms they search for are not at issue. The harms you target them with are. Now, that's just section three. That's what everyone seems to be talking about. But let's talk about the rest of COSA now.
I'll talk about whatever you want, because I am learning from you.
So look, section four is titled Safeguards for Minors. Section four is Safeguard for Minors. It is a critical section. It provides very specific guidance on what these companies can and cannot do, what is covered, things like, you know, personalized recommendation systems, things like parental tools. So let's talk about some of those. So I'm starting back on my outline here. Safeguards, right? Providing minors under 17 with accessible and easy to use safeguards. So, the outrage, right? God forbid we provide kids with power and control. So this section says you got to provide kids with accessible and easy to use safeguards that allow them to, and there's a list, that allow them to limit the ability of others to communicate with them. And I'm going to give you an example, because in some of those Facebook docs that are out there, you have Meta talking about direct messaging. You have Meta talking about, hey, when a kid signs up, they're getting a lot of direct messages from complete strangers. And this is where they also say, hey, kids are getting bullied. And so there's a document somewhere, and I don't recall the name of it, but it talks about the fact that X percentage of kids are being bullied on Instagram each week or month, maybe. And that it's either 30 or 40% of those often are being bullied over direct messaging, right? So the question is, do we give kids more control over the direct messaging? What if, for example, they could, you know, they could say, hey, nobody can direct message me unless they're on my friend list. They could get rid of some of those bullies, especially the ones that open new accounts when they're blocked to keep bullying. Or what about when you're under 17 and you sign on, strangers can't message you, right? That gets rid of some of these predators, for example. But they also know and determine that the more engagement they get during the onboarding period, right? New account holders, the more strangers essentially they connect to these kids, the more likely these kids are to stick around. And so the leadership decision is, we're not going to put these safeguards into place. The safeguards are already out there. They exist. They can be implemented. And all COSA is saying is you have to provide them with a safeguard that allows them to limit the ability of others to communicate. The other safeguard, restrict public access to personal data. So again, it when I read this, I'm like, well, of course you should be allowing children to restrict public access to their personal data. Limit features that increase, sustain, or extend use. These are these little tricks that they put in the interface, the dark patterns, the things that they have spent millions or billions having engineers figure out, how do I hook kids? It's the continuous scroll. It's the gamification features. It's all these little tricks that keep kids in the app. Notifications. A kid tries to turn off, you know, Instagram or TikTok, and then ping, 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 their phone's getting hit with, hey, you're missing out on something. They have to provide safeguards that allow these young users to stop those notifications, a product design feature. They have to give kids an easy way to control personalized recommendation systems, including the ability to have at least one of the following options: letting kids either opt out of personalized recommendation systems while still allowing chronological content displays, right? So giving kids a choice. I don't want a personalized recommendation system. I just want chronological. Or limiting category types. I don't want suicide. I don't want self-injury. I don't want eating disorder. Then there's a section on default safeguard settings. So these are ones that these companies would have to make by default. And again, if you go back through Facebook docs, they talk about default settings. And there's a reason these companies were not putting kids into safer default settings way back when. If I default a kid into a private account, which is safer for the kid, but decreases engagement, there is a chance that kid won't turn it off. And that's bad for me if I'm a big tech company.
That's bad for business.
Bad for business.
I've watched Senate hearings for the past 15 years. I've watched big tech representatives saying, you know, it's all new. Yeah, we're working on it. I watched the hearings with big tech media reps saying, hey, you know, we removed like a million harmful things. And then saying, okay, a million compared to what?
Yeah. Yep.
Right? So
yep.
What is the percentage?
I
That's
can't
like
even
saying,
with this.
You know what? We removed 1,000 cars that had bad brakes.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's like 10,000 out there.
But again, I mean, it's not even about the content, right? So this is where I say, like,
right.
Look at the Facebook papers, read them for yourself. The issue is, and I can't even, when I hear those types of statements, I struggle. I really struggle. And there's so many responses I have, some of which I can't say, but.
Sure you
but
can.
Right? No, but it's just, look at what they're saying. Listen to the qualified words. Listen to the subjective words. Listen to the terminology they're using. And what they're not saying, where then go to the Facebook documents. They're not, for example, you know, they talk about, oh, we're doing this and that, but then you've got a Facebook document that says Meta's people you may know recommendation algorithm historically was contributing up to 75% of adult minor grooming on the platform, right? That is a product. That is a tool. It is a technology that is connecting children to predators for Meta's bottom line. And then you've got internal documents where they're acknowledging, and I'm sure Meta will say, oh, you're taking that out of context, but it's right there. It's right there in plain English. This tool has historically contributed, I believe that's a direct quote, contributed up to 75% of adult minor grooming. That is, you know, so yes, if they come and say, oh, we've removed X number of accounts, but how many are, by what process? And how many are on there? Not just how many are on there, but how are your processes? How is your product design not just allowing these bad guys? Like, why are you even removing the bad content in the first place if you have markers on the back end whereby your products are the one allowing this to happen? They're encouraging it, enabling it. It goes to, I think of like our sextortion, you know, when we see sextortion or you see like huge misinformation campaigns or you see genocides, and then you go back to, what does Facebook see on the back end? What does Meta see on the back end? Because my general understanding is that if we could open those curtains, if we could see what's back there, you're going to find that people internally were sounding the alarm bells, right? We're saying, hey, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing that our sign-up systems, our sign-up mechanisms are allowing bad guys, if you will, to open, you know, 500 accounts. We see these networks of common friends, these bad actors on the back end, all the bells and whistles are going off, and they're just being ignored for the bottom line. And that's, again, this is not about content. It's never been about content. We just didn't know because we had no transparency into their products until Frances Haugen comes forward, until she takes that incredibly brave step of saying, look, here's just some of the documents that are going to show you what's happening. Before that point, all we have is what you have. Mark Zuckerberg in, I think, 2017 had a whole like manifesto on how wonderful the product was and how safe it is. You have Snapchat in their terms and their all the stuff they put on their website saying, hey, we use every available technology to protect kids, right? We are trusting in these companies. And I'm going to tell you from what I've seen on this side, what they're saying, it's BS, right? It's self-serving. It's qualified. It's making a technical distinction. I'll give you a very concrete example. Snapchat in a case that is not one of our cases, another case, submitted a declaration saying this is how our quick ad product works. And specifically they say, unless you have a Snapchat friend in common or someone is already in your contacts list, right? Quick ad's not going to make that connection. So they're saying, oh, go test it for yourself. It's really simple. So we go out and we get a test, a phone. and we open a new account from a new phone, an email that's created on the new phone, just so there's no contamination, right? No contacts on the phone, no Snapchat friends, sign up as a minor teen girl, a 16-year-old girl, I believe. And within moments, we have over 200 quick ad recommendations. So how do you mesh the results? And I would tell people, go do it yourself. Go buy a phone. Actually, to every parent, go buy three burner phones. Create an account on one for Snap, another for Instagram and Facebook, another for TikTok, another for YouTube. Create accounts and pretend that you're 14 and see what happens. Pretend you're 16, see what happens. Compare it to your own accounts, right? But regardless, my point there is that because of the lack of transparency, for years, these companies have been able to say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
And we just assume they're telling the truth. But why?
Yeah. One of the things that people ask me about, and they go like, but I don't understand. Isn't that illegal? And I don't understand. How do they sell drugs to kids mm-hmm. online? Like, isn't that illegal? And that is sort of the common parental and even young person approach, thinking yeah. that these industries are so big, there's got to be these protective measures, right? Yeah. Because it's so big and everybody's using them. I think people are so shocked just hearing that an industry like this could be worth so much, and there have not been any federal protection measures yeah. to protect the consumer.
Look at the time and effort they're putting into fighting COSA, right? We wonder yeah. why these companies have virtually unlimited resources. They control the flow of information. To go back to the drug distribution question, let me give you an example. I've talked to a handful of kids. I mean, most of our kids, in the cases involving drug distribution and Snapchat, which we actually believe is the product when it comes to that, are dead, but some of them are not. And a story that I've heard more than once, more than twice, is a story that goes somewhat like this. I was 12 years old. All my friends were using Snapchat. It's how they communicated. It was fun. It was cool. It has the silly filters. It has Snap scores. It has Snap streaks. I was 12, so I opened a Snapchat account. At that time, I'd never heard of marijuana. I didn't know what drugs were. And almost right away, what I started getting in my recommended stories from Snap was a lot of drug content. And that it was pot, not hard drugs at first. Usually it's pot and vaping, right? Including vaping advertisements, but also sort of third-party posts, pot, scene, saying that. So what I saw was kids my age, kids a little bit older, people smoking pot. It looked fun. It looked cool. I also was getting a lot of quick ad recommendations. So some of these were people I knew. I had my friends' QR codes. I was adding them. But then Snap has got this quick ad product where I'm getting recommended all these people. Well, it turns out a lot of these people being recommended to these kids are drug dealers. So, and they're adding them. And at one point, Snap even had a button that was an add all button. I don't believe it has it anymore, but you could push the add all button and boom, all those quick ads are added, right? So now you've got over 200 and something, like over 200 quick ads. These are people that Snap is recommending. And it even says, hey, you may know this person, or, this may be a friend, a possible friend, or they've been online. So the language is all geared towards getting kids to trust, right? And to be like, oh, this is harmless. I may know this person. So then you've got all these drug dealers. So now I've got this 12, 13-year-old kid who's like, look, I'd never heard of drugs, but Snap, that's right. It made pot look cool. Then I started getting drug menus from these drug dealers that I'm being connected to on QuickAd. And these dealers and all my friends are talking about it. And everyone says, hey, you can get whatever you want on Snap. So I try marijuana, right? And they deliver to my door. But like a lot of these dealers, they deliver. These are 12, 13-year-old kids. They don't need a car. They deliver. So I buy some pot. And then, they're telling me how great Percocet is and everyone's trying it. And I want to be cool. And Snap makes, I mean, this is an experience that a lot of these kids that are getting involved in drug distribution. And let me add to this. Now, recently I talked to an 18-year-old who did not get sucked in by drug distribution. But as we were talking about Snapchat, he said, oh yeah, I got drug menus all the time when I was 12. Everyone knows that that's what Snapchat does, that that's all the drug dealers, this and that. Now, I didn't take any of them up on it. And I said, wait a sec. His mom was right there. I said, everyone doesn't know.
Right. Yeah.
Your mom didn't know, because no way in hell is she going to let a 12-year-old on an app that every 12-year-old knows is like the open air drug market. And that was sort of an aha moment for him, where he's like, oh, I didn't think about that. And then it was like, well, what if like you were really lucky that you weren't in that category of kids who was susceptible to that. But the kids that are dying. Whatever, you know, whatever we assign to that morally, it is making Snapchat millions and millions of dollars because it means you've got all these predators, you've got all these drug dealers, you've got all these kids that are using this app.
I think the thing that makes me cry just in the time where we are in our society, that we can have leadership in companies and in Congress turn a blind eye to something that will kill a child.
Right.
And if profit.
I'm one of these companies, I am making billions every year. I can push back COSA every year. I'm making billions of dollars. Right. So if I'm one of these companies, it's a win if I get COSA pushback 1 year, because that's billions of dollars. Wow. Right. That's no accountability. And that's what, you know, and it's, I mean, that's what this is about. How far can they push COSA back? It's billions of dollars every year, and it's more kids dead. I want to really quickly, like, I know we're running some highlights on COSA is reporting mechanisms. Let's talk about when you talk about how do they not know? We have cases, kids that'll say, hey, I reported these predators and this platform did nothing. I reported these drug dealers and they kept dealing. I reported, they did nothing. And I've seen, I reported this person that was sex, you know, that was sextorting my kid and this platform did not. So the broken reporting mechanisms, if you've ever tried to get a hold of one of these apps, it's impossible. What COSA is going to do, and this has got to terrify these companies, terrify them. They have to have a working reporting mechanism. Like that is huge. A working reporting, not just for, by the way, and I love this part. It actually says for parents, minors, and schools. So they will have a working reporting mechanism. They will provide a readily accessible, easy to use means to submit reports of harms to minors, as well as an electronic point of contact, as well as a confirmation of receipts and means to track. And the timing, which, I mean, this is again, sort of common sense. It's they have to respond to a report within 10 days if they have more than 10 million monthly, what is it, MAU in the US. And I'm blanking for some reason, it's monthly active users. 21 days or less, if less than 10 million. And notwithstanding those, if something involves an imminent threat to the safety of a child or a minor, they have to respond as promptly as needed. These reporting mechanisms, that provision alone is going to keep so many kids safe. That was one of the provisions that made me cry, because their mechanisms are purposely defective. There is no human being back there most of the time. They say how great the reporting mechanisms are. But I can tell you from hundreds of families and kids that have told me BS, I've reported and nothing happened. Advertising of illegal products, they do not get under COSA. They don't get to facilitate the advertising of narcotic drugs, tobacco, gambling, or alcohol to known minors. How is this a question? Like, how is this a question? And more so, accessibility. They don't get to hide the ball. There's literally whole provisions of COSA that say you have to provide all of these options in a clear and conspicuous manner, and you don't get to discourage their use. And you have to make them easy to use. And there's literally, like, we even have to say this is telling. You don't get to put it in a different language than the rest of your platform. I mean, literally, it says you don't get to use some language that you're using. So this is, it prohibits dark patterns, right? Why are we okay with these companies using dark patterns on it? It COSA says you don't get to design, modify, or manipulate a user interface with the purpose or substantial effect of impairing our autonomy. These parental tools that people want to say, oh, parental tools, well, these companies already claim to have them. But regardless, COSA makes sure it doesn't mean you get to violate these kids' privacies. It doesn't.
Why is this taking so long?
Yeah.
How were they able to create a company?
Yeah.
How were you able to create a company and multiple companies in this same model to exploit children for profit? Yeah. And it has been taking this long for any accountability.
I have a parent whose child, there was a drug distribution of a counterfeit pill and her son died of fentanyl poisoning. And the dealer was still selling on Snap. And she kept trying to tell him, he's still selling on Snap. You need to shut him down. He's going to kill more kids. She literally, because she's in Southern California, you can't get a hold of him. She drove to their offices. She physically drove to their offices to pound on the door. And security said, you move your car, we tow it. I need to see someone. I need to speak with them. There's a dealer that is killing kids. That's not how this works. It's something to the effect of, we are not a, you know, we're not a clothing store. You don't just get a walk in, you make an appointment. Well, who do I make an appointment with? Doesn't work that way. And that's why I say this reporting mechanism that COSA puts in place, you want to talk accountability. It means when you know bad stuff's happening, you don't get to look the other way. Section 6, transparency. Covered platforms with more than 10 million monthly active users. So we're talking the biggest platforms. They're going to have to provide reports. They'll have to do a public report once yearly talking about reasonably foreseeable risks of harm to minors and assessing prevention and mitigation measures. Like, this also has got to tear, like, this is accountability. It's not oppressive. It's not difficult. It is basic accountability that scares them. How much money they're making off kids, how kids are using their platform, right? These are things these companies don't want to tell us. COSA is going to do independent research on social media minors, right? And it's like the FTC with the National Academy of Sciences, with the Secretary of Health and Human Services. They're going to establish a council that is made up of representatives from these companies, as well as kids and parents and teachers and organizations that care about the well-being of our kids, right? Everything we've talked about, the programming to target children, the, you know, children searching for gay pride and getting Westboro Baptist Church, you're going to hell as a result. Like, these are what these companies are doing. And the whole narrative that they put out there is, parents, nobody should control what your parents look at, what your kids look at, but you, right? And so then we get in this mindset, oh, it's true, it's the parents' fault. But the reality is, they are controlling what your children look at. Your children aren't, you aren't. And you can't, by the way, because they design their products to make sure that your child gets access no matter what you do. And I've got over 2,000 families that are proof of that. No matter what you do, your child will get access.
I do believe parents feel so guilty if they come across something, and I know the first thing they're saying is, why didn't I know? I should have known. And it's not your fault.
These companies know it. These companies know it. They're counting on it. They're counting on you blaming themselves. And look, in these lawsuits are not about what happens maybe someday in court. They never were, right? These lawsuits are about visibility. They're about accountability. They're about transparency. They're about giving these parents a voice. And we have so many families that frankly have come forward for the simple reason that they said, look, we were those families. Yeah. We did everything right and then some. And we always thought, that's not our kid. It's not us. We have families that have come forward to say, I have to speak up, because if it happened to us, it can happen to anyone.
You are just the best. I learned so much, and I've even read COSA, and I still learned from you because I can't interpret legalese and jargon. So you made it so understandable for us. So I
and
really,
Joni, I'll
it.
Say, like, any of these organizations that believe COSA, and I have not found sort of, but for months I've wanted to talk to some of these folks. If anyone wants to reach out to me, anyone at any organization that or nonprofit that is Please. Worried about COSA, let's sit down. I will take the time. We'll sit down. We'll talk through it together. We can even reach out to the co-drafters and find, you know, let's really talk it through, because I think that it's easy to worry. I think that it's easy to react. But I think that's exactly what big tech wants. And, you know, we are here. I'm here. If anyone wants to talk about these issues, or talk through them, I am open-minded to see the other side. But at the end of the day, like, I've read this thing 20 times and
and it makes a nice pillow.
I don't know how they can make it better. Let me put it that way. So
that's awesome. Please go to fairplayforkids.org.
Yes.
Front page. We're making it so easy for you to join us in our ferocious parenting to protect kids. It is COSA, the Kids Online Safety Act. And it will do finally the things that I think you thought were already there. So now it's just part of being accountable. Laura, you are the best. Thank you for being a new partner with us on this.
Thank
I really
you, Joni.
Thank you so much.
Yep. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Thank you again to Laura Marquez Garrett and the Social Media Victims Law Center. And of course, Fair Play for Kids and the Screen Time Action Network. Your guide to reaching out to your representatives is at fairplayforkids.org. I'm Joni Ciani. This is the No App for Life podcast. Next up, part 3 of our Accountable series. We'll be joined by the powerful parents who have been doing the work to hold big tech accountable and to clean up social media, saving the lives of our kids.